Daisy's was crowded at lunch. Jessie was happy for her and for Cole, who would be raking in the tip money, but wished that her patrons weren't mostly media types. He guessed the news media invasion was inevitable. Even he could see that this story would play in every market. Everything about it, from Alicia's skin color to John Vanderkamp's family lineage, made it a grand slam. And with Leon Vanderkamp seemingly determined to exploit the death of his son, it was bound to get worse. Jessie could hear the sizzle words in his head: white supremacist, unarmed, African American, police shooting. As Jessie was ordering his sandwich, he realized that his presence hadn't gone unnoticed. The noise of the conversations, the clatter of silverware and plates, hushed suddenly. Those things were replaced by loud whispers and the squeaking of people sliding out of vinyl booths, the rattle and scraping of chairs on the tiled flooring. When Jessie turned away from Daisy, he saw four people coming at him. The two women and two men approached him. Jessie recognized Rhianne Phillips, the investigative reporter from a Boston TV affiliate. Handsome, with perfectly cut shoulder-length hair, she was impeccably dressed and made up. But Jessie knew not to dismiss her. She had always been tough, but fair. He didn't recognize the other woman. She was definitely a print journalist, dressed for comfort, not for the camera. He also recognized Isai Vasquez, another reporter for a Boston TV outlet. Tom Pemberton was from the Salem Daily Paper. "Chief Stone, can you confirm that the victim," Isai looked down at his notes, "Mr. Vanderkamp, was unarmed?" Jessie held his palms up. "Let me make this clear to all of you," he said. "I can confirm or deny nothing. I'm not party to the investigation. The investigation into the incident is being handled by state police personnel. All I can say is that the Paradise Police Department is cooperating with the investigation and that we will abide by their findings. Now, if you don't mind, I'm trying to get some lunch." Jessie knew it wouldn't end there. All he'd done was temporarily close one area for the media to pursue. "What about the Saviors of Society flyers that have been handed out in Paradise?" asked the woman print journalist. "Do you think there is any connection between the shooting of the unarmed son of the head of that organization by an African-American policewoman?" Jessie answered with a question of his own. "Who are you?" "Cassandra Mills from the Globe." "We don't know each other, Cassandra. But if you ever want me to answer one of your questions, don't put the answer you want in the question." "Okay," she said. "Do you think there is any connection between those flyers and the incident last night?"
"Until the investigation is completed, it would be wrong for me to speculate."
Then Rhianne Phillips asked the really hard question. "Did your department report a recent cross-burning incident as vandalism instead of a hate crime? If so, can you explain why?"
"No comment, Rhianne."
But Jessie made a mental note to have a talk with Rhianne when no one else was around. He knew the Patels hadn't leaked the information, and since his cops were under strict instructions about talking to the press during the investigation, he doubted one of them was the source. That left the person who'd burned the cross into the lawn. And if John Vanderkamp was that person, he couldn't have been the source. The question the reporter asked only cemented Jesse's belief that there was more going on in his town than what you could see in the light.